Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back into another installment of the Mind Your Business podcast series. I'm David Jackson, President and CEO of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the download. Thanks for your continued subscriptions. We deliver this podcast to you each and every Thursday right in that digital inbox. And hey, if you're a subscriber, you also got this week the special editions that we put out, which were the individual files from each race from our Meet the Candidates forum back on Thursday night of last week. We were able to have those candidates join us and condense those sessions into podcasts so you can take them with you and listen to politics wherever you happen to go. I know that's what we all want to do right now because we just can't simply get enough, right? Maybe not. So anyway, a lot to cover here on the program this week. Thank you again for being a part of it and downloading it and listening to us. We've got two main things that we want to talk about. One of them is election related and one of them is our topic for the week. Topic of the week is going to be an interview with Jennifer Green from App Healthcare, public health director, going to set us straight on where we are in Watauga County on COVID-19. More on that in a minute. Let's jump back into the election conversation for just a second. We had our Meet the Candidates forum last week. Again, as I mentioned, we broke those archives up by session on not only our podcast channel. So if you're a subscriber, again, you got these. If you listen to the show on our Buzzsprout website, which is connected to boonechamber.com, you see them listed in the playlist there. You can listen to those by section. They're broken up by the race, and you'll hear candidates talk about local issues. We tried to ask a lot of conversations about things that were of local impact, so we can get a clear indication on where the candidates lie, where their thoughts are and philosophies are on things that matter to us here in Watauga County. So hopefully that's reflected in the way they answered those questions. If you want to watch the full shebang, you can go to our Facebook page or Boone Area Chamber of Commerce Facebook page and find an archive to the full event as it aired on App TV last Thursday. That's everything. It's like a 5-hour file. So get some popcorn and then get some more. And then probably still get some more. And then you can watch all of it in its entirety. We also have on our Facebook page a link to information from the Watauga County Board of Elections that goes over all of the important dates to remember for the election cycle, when early voting starts, when it ends, when the general election is, those times. Also a link to the Watauga County Board of Elections site where you can get more detailed information about polling locations for both the early elections and for the general, and understanding that no matter where you are in the state, but certainly here in Watauga County, a lot of that information has changed this year because of social distancing and moving polling locations around to be in larger venues. That place that you have always voted your whole entire life for the decades you've been voting might not be the place that you go this year. So we want to make sure that you know where that place is early enough so you can plan accordingly, so you can make sure that you get to where you need to get to do what you need to do come election day, whenever that happens to be for you. So make sure you check that information out as well. All right. Now, our topic for this week, a COVID-19 check-in here on Watauga County. It's been an anxious and busy few weeks for us here. We have seen our numbers rise in ways that we haven't seen during this pandemic. Watauga County has been very fortunate. Back in the spring, we were able to keep numbers relatively in check. We were able to keep medical resources relatively stocked and at a point where we felt good about our community response and that providers could provide and we could make the decisions that needed to be made for the safety of our community and for the safety of our residents, tourists, and everybody that comes in contact here. We have simply seen these numbers go up. There are a variety of reasons for that. There are a variety of population groups that have seen rises larger or smaller than others. And we want to bring Jennifer Green in this week to help explain some of that, explain why she feels like that rise has come, where some of those trends have traced back to types of events and types of gatherings, and what we can ultimately do to change the course. We are seeing some strain on some resources here in the county for the first time that we want to make sure don't get too far beyond a strain. And with that comes some responsibility on us to continue to practice the things that we have been told time and time again for several months now. As much as you don't want to hear it, the 3 W's are important: wearing that face mask, wearing that facial covering, whatever it happens to be for you, waiting the 6 feet, practicing social distance, applying logic to some of those situations when it comes to larger gatherings and being careful about where you are and how you interact with folks. That all plays into our community response. You know, we've just had Watauga County schools return to in-person learning. We've got more teachers and staff inside schools. We've got kids inside schools in a larger number than we've had. We've got students from Appalachian State and staff and faculty that continue to move about the community. We've got more tourists in our area right now. This is one of the busiest months of our calendar year. And there's no mandates that say that people can't travel, right? And we have seen more evidence of day trippers that aren't maybe necessarily wanting to come to an area and spend the night, but they do want to come and safely move about the community. There's more volume here right now. So it's more important for us to do the things that we know that have been proven to keep us safe, keep our businesses flourishing, and keep people in our community. It is true to say that October is a transient month, and we rely on a lot of things to make that work. October is a month that helps a number of businesses and families make January and February last. This is hibernation money time. This is where we see our leaf lookers and our fall tourists come, and they spend money in our community, in our businesses, that a lot of them don't have that same volume after the holidays in January and February. It's colder. You know, who wants to walk around when the wind's blowing 37 miles an hour and it's 5 degrees outside, right? So you have to rely on these periods of time. We can all understand that volume has been impacted this year. Even on the busy days, it's not as busy as it normally is. And with that, businesses are trying to do what they can now to make sure that they can sustain themselves. Especially with no government stimulus coming in a second round right now, I think a lot of businesses are starting to count the pennies again and realize, hey, we've been trying to deploy these dollars that came in the first round. We've tried to deploy our savings in ways that are responsible. And as that tends to trickle down and we see our volume timeout in kind of an odd way right now, it's thinking about, well, how are we going to get through this? Now, part of that is continued local support. And we have seen so much of that over the course of this pandemic. The way that our community rallied around local purchase decisions and helping neighbors, helping put food on families' tables here in Watauga County back in the spring is why we're all still here in the summer and early fall now. That local spirit helped us through. We need that local spirit to come back in a big way here in the fall. And it's continuing to see the value in local purchase decisions, especially as we are gearing toward the holidays and you're starting to think about, you know, what you might want to get for Christmas, what nonprofit you might want to take that present money and donate it to. There are people out there that have needs that have not been able to enjoy the same volume, the same business that they have normally. And all of those peoples are families here in Watauga County. They put foods on their they put food on their table based on, you know, the way that their businesses interact. So if you can support those local businesses, it certainly will go a long way. But keep in mind, too, that, the healthy choices you make impact the people that you're around. The cashier at your favorite coffee shop or the person walking down the street with you, if you are doing healthy things and they are doing healthy things, the chances are that we can see these numbers decline a little bit. We want to and continue to see the work that Appalachian State University is doing with community partners to continue to educate students on where we see opportunities for them to get tighter with some of their safety protocols. We have seen a number of students, staff, and faculty doing the right thing. I think we can all say around our entire community that while some of us are doing it right, some of us are maybe skirting the rules a little bit here. So the more we can get together on this, hopefully the quicker we can get through this and the quicker we can return to that welcoming, high country, friendly, transient place that we don't have to have a lot of extra measures go into place to take full advantage of. So hopefully you will take that message for what it is. It's the halftime speech for us all. Do what you can to help the ways you can. And I know that we'll get through this here in the fall, just like we were able to galvanize as a community and get through things back in the spring. So without any further ado, let me turn things over to Jennifer Green. She is the Director of Public Health for App Healthcare and so gracious to spend time with us here on Mind Your Business.
Well, thanks, David. Glad to be back.
So I guess we can start in the obvious place. It is no secret that the COVID-19 case numbers have been on the rise here in our community. I know you and your staff have been working around the clock since this all started in trying to make the decisions that will keep our community healthy, but also provide information about what people can do. I guess the first bit of information, what can you tell us about the rising case numbers? Where are you seeing that and what do you really attribute that to at this point?
Well, I think that we have gone so far over the last few months. I know everyone's tired. unfortunately, our metrics in Watauga County are going in the wrong direction. Certainly, we are concerned, and I think it's time for all of us as a community to really pay attention to what we can do individually and in our community to protect each other. We are seeing a rise in cases. Obviously, a lot of them are 18 to 24-year-olds, but not all. We have some cases that are really what we believe are a link to activities that don't have safety always in mind. And unfortunately, we're all tired of hearing the three W's, but we need to be hearing about the three W's because that's what we know is going to help protect us, wearing our mask, washing our hands, and keeping that social distance from each other.
As people in the community will see messages come across, you know, we've seen several from area businesses or especially restaurants here lately that may have had a COVID positive employee that's led to a decision for them to make changes to the business operation. That could be as far as closing or altering operations, or in some cases, trimming staff back to make sure that they can get through things healthily. Can you walk us through again for people that might not be as familiar with the situation, what the health department's role is in that conversation and how you've been working with these businesses to make the decision that's best for them given the circumstance they find themselves in?
Well, we always want to partner with local businesses. And I will say I'm really proud to be in this community where we have so many strong business owners who care about their community and care about their employees' health. Our role is really to help support the employee who has tested positive to identify close contacts, because we know that if we don't do that, there can be a further spread of the virus. And what's important to know is sometimes, oftentimes the exposure is maybe not at work, but it might be happening out in some other setting, and it just affects the workplace. So we're grateful when business owners work with us. We try to make sure we have a full picture. If we have cases and maybe an employee needs some help to really identify where they might have close contacts. And it's really just to try to stop the spread and help make sure that the business is able to continue on. We know that some have made the decision on their own to put a pause on their business operations for a little bit. And that's because they're trying to do the right thing by allowing their employees to quarantine and follow our guidance. And we support that. But we're, our goal is to work with the business owner and tell them, what their options are in terms of protecting their employees. And that's really where it ends in terms of our role.
Jennifer Green, Director of Public Health for App Healthcare, joining us here this morning on Mind Your Business. And Jen, as you look again back to that kind of business operation model, I know that you've said all along one of the reasons why, sometimes a positive case is not linked to a particular place, whether it's a business, a place of living, what have you, is because that infection may not be traced back to that location. I know that that's sometimes hard for people to understand. What's your message there for the methodology as to why it's so important to be accurate with, as you said a moment ago, the full picture versus the anecdotal evidence that gets passed around sometimes in social circles and in social media that can cause a lot of undue, I'll call it reflux about a situation without knowing the full facts?
Well, I think it's really important that people understand you can be infectious 48 hours before you have symptoms. So a business and any other community setting can be doing everything right in terms of screening, having people wear masks and keep their distance as best they can. But we can still have exposures that occur in different settings before someone realizes it, before they have any concerning symptoms. And I think that's the big takeaway, that we are looking for people to be open with us when we do contact tracing. And having the input of the business owner is often really helpful because we put in, really a puzzle together between us and the employee just to try to make sure that the business as a whole is protected and there isn't a risk of ongoing transmission that we may not have been able to do on our own.
And the importance of contact tracing, I know that if you again listen to the conversations that people tend to have out there in the places where conversations take place, you hear a lot about contact tracing, you hear a lot about enforcement and wishing there was more of both. Contact tracing, has to have a willing party. And can you maybe help walk through those that might be apprehensive when they see the number pop up on the caller ID of just not knowing what that's about? You know, understanding what that process is, what those questions are like, and ultimately what happens to the person that's answering the questions. How can you explain that process for us?
Sure. We are here to help. And so having people who are willing to answer our call is so important. We will text people if they don't recognize the number and we miss them. We will leave messages. But we try to work with that person to ask a lot of questions. And the intent is really just to try to make sure that if there's someone who is at risk, we're able to identify that. But we also do other things. We try to make sure that the person who is newly learned that they're positive, that they have the support that they need to safely isolate. We can provide support through a safe isolation area if they need that. We can also provide support with food assistance if they need that. And we can have a nurse call and check on them to make sure that they're improving, that they have all the resources they need. So really, our goal is to try to provide that support. In addition, we can answer a lot of questions that they might have. But the main thing to know is, you know, you're not in trouble and you're not ratting someone out by participating in contact tracing. It's really showing your community members that you care about them enough to really help protect them. It's one of the best tools we have right now to help attack this virus. We are all hopeful for more tools in our toolbox as we move forward. But right now, this contact tracing is one of the most important things that we're doing to try to control the spread.
Real quick, before we go to our break here, a few weeks ago, the state actually deployed a technology resource, an app that would help in the contact tracing element. Have you seen much deployment of that or much success with that program yet, not only here locally, but statewide?
Well, we've heard that there's been a lot of folks who have downloaded the app. It's called Slow COVID NC, and you can find it on the App Store. It does use a Bluetooth technology, and I just encourage folks to go and check it out and look at it. It's not a GPS locating app, so it's not going to track your every movement. It's there to try to make sure that if you are around another person or another phone in 14 days and you test positive, that using Bluetooth technology and randomly provided characters that are not linked to you personally, there's a way for those folks who have been around you to get notified. So it's another tool in the toolbox, and I think is worth checking out, even if you're just curious.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more with Jennifer Green, Director of Public Health for App Healthcare. When we continue after this, you're listening to Mind Your Business This Morning, a presentation of the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce here on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM.
Mind Your Business, brought to you by Appalachian Commercial Real Estate. Visit AppalachianCRE.com.
Welcome back to Mind Your Business here this morning on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. David Jackson from the Boone Area Chamber of Commerce visiting with Jennifer Green, Director of Public Health for App Healthcare. As you mentioned, Jen, it's definitely something that we have seen. People are ready to move on and do other things, but so many of our discussion points today, so incredibly important to our overall community response to this. That's why we keep bringing them up. And one of those topics that's centered around certainly Appalachian State having more cases than they've had at any point in time yet. Can you talk a little bit about how the health department continues to be a resource for the folks at ASU as they try to do the best they can in managing clusters and managing testing and managing everything that they've got going on with their population right now?
Well, I think it's important that folks know that the App State folks are really dialed in to the situation. And we are having calls with them every day. One of the things we try to do is make sure we don't have any cases lost to follow-up. But we also look at other things, like how can we get more testing to areas that need it? What can we do to try to promote more prevention? And those are such important partnerships that we have with our university partners. We know that everything that we're doing is a piece of the puzzle. So I think it's important that folks know that we are communicating very frequently with university leadership to try to make sure that we're doing everything we can together to try to curb this increase that we've seen and support the university and our local community and its health.
With that said, we've been at this for several months now, almost feels like longer, but what advances have been made in helping a group like Appalachian State test thousands and thousands of people that haven't been part of that population for the entirety of this? Advances in testing, advances in ways to be able to communicate. What have you seen there that's developed that have helped in some cases get that messaging out, get the word out that there are available resources for people?
Well, I think one of the things that's really terrific is that we've seen more tools on the testing front. Want to commend the university for having testing pop-up events. I think they're doing that twice a week now, and that's an opportunity. And what's really great is that the testing turnaround times have improved across the state. You can actually see that on the Department of Health and Human Services dashboard, but they're really short timeframes now. We've got really around a two-day turnaround time for test results for molecular tests, which are the most accurate. They're the send-off tests that we're doing. But in addition to that, we've seen locally the addition of rapid tests that are antigen tests that some providers are providing to their folks. We know Student Health Services at App State is doing that as well. We actually are really excited because we know that there are going to be some additional resources coming our way through the Bonex Now antigen card testing. And that's something that we are excited to be able to work with our community partners and get out in the community. It's another quick response testing tool. It doesn't give us all the answers. We still have to use our other molecular tests, but it will be another tool for quick identification of cases. And that's what we really need is quick identification so we can isolate and control the spread.
I know that with Watauga County Schools returning to in-person instruction here recently, Appalachian State still has students, as does Caldwell Community College. There are a number of visitors to this area now. This is a very transient community usually in the month of October. How much more critical does that make the work of not only yourselves, but the other healthcare partners in this area to be able to trade information as quickly as possible, deploy resources as quickly as possible to make sure that you are all providing a level of care that keeps a community safe as well as it keeps an individual healthy?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. And I want to say, too, one of the things we're watching very closely with our increase in numbers is how things are going with the hospital. You know, they have done a really great job of keeping us informed, and they've certainly expressed some concerns recently about what they've seen, and I'm concerned. So we've got to continue to stick together. And I think all of us doing our part to promote prevention, the three W's, trying to wear our face coverings. I know people are tired of it. I'll tell you, I mean, the only good thing is we've got a new fashion statement we can add, some of us, or, show our team spirit maybe. But, you know, we've got to keep doing the work that is required to curb the spread, and preventing it from spreading to begin with is one of the best things we can do. That, along with our, you know, partnerships and trying to continue to work together, I think is what will help us curb this increase that we've seen and continue to move forward.
Anybody that takes a moment to think about the complexity of these things understands that there is no silver bullet here. There is no absolute, this decision will make all of the bad things go away and only the good things will come. How do you and others that are involved in the decision-making process here balance all of that? Because I know that's got to be a little bit of push-pull every day, almost hourly in some cases, to see a little bit of prevention, a little bit of enforcement, a little bit of just old good old-fashioned common sense seems like can marry each other to that right thing. But it takes a lot of different pieces of the puzzle to come together to make that work.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that it's why we need everyone to do their part. Everyone in every circumstance, in all settings. It's why all of us doing our part is so important, because, you know, one piece of the puzzle not being, what it needs to be is what will throw us off. And I think, you know, we've seen so much work in our local partners trying to really do the right thing by our community to make sure we're all supporting the prevention efforts And also making sure that people have good information about the virus and the fact that it is a real virus and it will affect people seriously in some cases. I think that all of that's very important to move forward with. And also to have hope. I mean, we have to take a moment to have some positive thoughts here. We're all tired of this COVID-19 response. Probably no one more than our public health staff, I would say. But we have to remain hopeful and positive and try to control the things that we know that we can control. And that is, you know, really trying to lean into all of this prevention work that we know is so important.
Final question for you, and this more of an update on a non-COVID related thing. So we'll take that hat off for a second. I know that the health department is one of the partners in the community that sings the song of the relevance and reason for flu shots louder than anybody here in our community on an annual basis. Can you give us an update on timing of deployment of that vaccine and the importance to make sure that you're taking care of one thing so it doesn't maybe necessarily compound with another should COVID and the flu marry each other in some sense here within the community?
Well, I think there's a lot of conversation about flu vaccine deployment and by different providers. We've already seen some are offering flu shots, and I just encourage folks to make sure they talk with their provider or go get their flu shot. It's important that we all get that this year, probably more than ever. We have some flu clinics planned. We've already been working with the university's health promotion program and Institute for Health and Human Services to try to organize some flu clinics. We at the health department will be working hard to make sure that there's some options for people who are coming for COVID testing to also get flu shots if they're not sick. You know, we don't want to have them get it if they're not feeling well, but if they're feeling well, having a COVID screening and a flu shot at the same time, you know, one-stop shopping is one way to help us make sure we're continuing to promote prevention.
I'll turn in my coupon for that one anytime. Jen, thank you so much again for just your willingness to share information, to continue to be a resource. I know you and your staff have got to be exhausted with all of this, but you answer the phone all the time, and we certainly appreciate that. And wish you best of luck as we continue through this, and hopefully one day we'll have something else to talk about other than COVID-19, but probably not anytime soon, unfortunately. Thank you. That's Jen Green. I'm David Jackson. That'll do it for this edition of Mind Your Business. We'll be right back here with you again, same time, same place next week on AM 1450 WATA and 96.5 FM. Good morning.